You will be turning to Isaiah chapter 53. Our camp theme has been major themes from the Messianic prophet. My lesson is majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shears is silent. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, and yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul into death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we are amazed and astonished. Father, we are humbled. And we are exalted. I am so grateful and thankful, Father, for the logic, for the wisdom of your plan. To be a participant in the eternal purpose. I would ask, Lord God, you would be with us today, and I pray that you would help me to bring forth, Father, what the Holy Spirit had in mind. As these words are being penned and as we put these things together, and Father, that it might motivate us. Father, cause your word to fill us, to indwell us. to quench that thirst, to satisfy that hunger. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the chosen of God. These are themes that have been well brought out this weekend. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations has now been revealed to His saints. To them, to the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. First John, chapter 1. And verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. Light. Glory. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He is alive and active today. The eternal purpose is still eternal, and it is still purposeful. There's no accident. Reminds me of a Jewish father, sons. About ready for bar mitzvah. But the boy does nothing but play Xbox and scour the internet for kosher pepperoni. Dad doesn't know what to do. So Dad says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send this boy to Israel for a year. Let him see the wall. Let him learn the culture and the heritage of our people so that he has an appreciation. And so he finances the trip. Young man goes to Israel for a year. He's there for a year and comes back and he says, Dad, he says, I really, really do appreciate the sacrifices that you made to send me to Israel. But I need to tell you, while I was there, I converted to Christianity. The father says, oi, I send the boy away. I pay this money. He converts to Christianity. I don't know what to do. So following the tradition of the patriarchs, he goes and tells his best friend,
I don't know what I'm going to do. I send this boy away, and he converts to Christianity. Well, so his best friend says, "Funny, you should come to me." He said, "I sent my son to Israel, and he converted to Christianity. What kind of generation are we raising?" So as they commiserate, they decide to go to the rabbi. And they tell the rabbi, "We don't know what we're going to do. We sent our boys to Israel. They came back. They found Christianity. And now what's going to happen to our culture?" And the rabbi says, "Funny, you should come to me. I sent my boy to Israel, and he came back a Christian. Rabbi, what can we do?" The rabbi says, "Well, the only thing we can do is we will pray." And so as they pray, a voice comes from heaven that says, "Funny, you should come to me." Irony of that is that really does follow popular theology. That God was somehow surprised by a parenthetical age. And the Bible tells us that exactly the opposite is true. Because the eternal purpose is still eternal and it is still purposeful. One of the majestic themes from the Messianic prophet was covered very well yesterday in evangelism in the why. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." By the way, are we still in the last times? Is he still being made manifest? "Who through him," verse 21, "believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. The glory that is shared by participating in the divine purpose. Our why
to seek and save the lost. But God's why is so that His glory, His righteousness, His holiness is proved to the heavenly realms. We get to be conduits by which that is proven out. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. This lamb that was slain in verse 7, this lamb that was silent as to the shears, did in reality redeem, pardon, and justify. Hebrews 9:12 says, by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God. Praise God. And by His stripes we are healed. This is astonishing. There are times when I've been astonished, when I look back at that astonishment and I think, did I really see that? Did I really see what I just thought I saw? I am so astonished that I can't hardly believe that really is real, you know? I mean, kind of like somebody coming in with one of them tie-dye shirts on. You believe that? I mean, some people really have a psychological problem and need to be the center of attention all the time, you know? There's pills for that. But they're really hard to get off of, you know?
They don't work.
They used to. Quit taking them. But this is an astonishing report. And you go back to Isaiah 52 and look at verses 13 through 15. This report is that there is a Redeemer coming into the world. Isaiah 52 verses 13 through 15 tells us there is a Redeemer who is coming. Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. You're going to recognize this. Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. Now this is certainly familiar, because you remember Jesus standing up in the synagogue reading this very passage. So there is a physical, natural, historical fulfillment of this prophecy. I want to bring to your attention, as you kind of keep that in mind, that 1 Corinthians 15:46 says that, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. Now, I want you to think about Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. One more step concerning the big Jesus and the eternality of the purpose of which has been revealed to us in these last times, that we might be divine participants. And I want you now to apply this prophecy to you, to the church, to the big Jesus. Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, for your law is written in my heart. Do you know who you are? You are who you are because God says who you are. But this prophecy is as much about us today as it was the physical form of God Himself on earth. These are truly majestic themes from the messianic prophet. God was not finished with the messianic prophecy when Jesus offered His blood, because Jesus still has an eternal purpose to fulfill. We are the conduits by which that eternal purpose is fulfilled. This is astonishing, because as we see that majesty of Isaiah, as we see the majesty of King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want you to see the majesty of the church. This is astonishing. The Son of God voluntarily agreed to become the servant of His Father's will and decree. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? See? What about the sons of God with a little s? Us. Voluntarily agreeing to become servants of the Father's will and decree. And do you really think He is going to ask less of us than He asked of His only begotten Son? Majestic themes from the messianic prophet. God's will is non-negotiable. I don't get to pick out the parts of His will that, well, I think I am well fit for this. How many of you are well fit for crucifixion? The second Adam, Christ, continues to fulfill the eternal purpose. We are Christ to this generation. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is an astonishing report. This is a majestic theme from the Messianic prophet. Now, what follows this astonishing report is an astonishing rejection. Isaiah 53, 1 through 3. You see the astonishing rejection. When the Lord Jesus manifested Himself in this world in His Adam suit, He was despised and rejected by men. In case you haven't noticed, He still is. Who has believed our report? It's about doing more. It's about loving more. But it's not about trying harder. It's about believing more. Who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. Again, I want you to put yourself in the first person here. Quit thinking about the historical Jesus and think about the historical Jesus, eternality, present today. The church, you, carrying this out. See? No form or comeliness. When we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. And yet, what's exactly the thing that we've tried to do is build great edifices and architecture. He despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. I remember some years ago, I don't remember the fellow's name, but his shtick was, he was out here. I remember Jay had studied with him. I met him through Jay, and his shtick was, look, you see this? This will mess you up. If you're comfortable in your life, put this down. Because this is going to screw you up like nothing's ever screwed you up before. Okay? Or you're going to have to change everything about you. So if you're not ready to make that kind of thing, you better quit fooling around with this. See? You start believing this. See? You start believing this, it's going to mess you up. There's some truth to that. Because if you're in love with you, it's going to mess you up. But the arm of the Lord. Now, what's the arm of the Lord? What do you think the arm of the Lord is going to execute? You think the arm of the Lord might execute the Lord's purpose? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, you know, he could force that. But you know what that would prove? That would only prove that He's bigger than you are.
How's he going to prove he's holy? How's he going to prove he's righteous? How's he going to prove holy, holy, holy? Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The arm of the Lord is going to carry out the declaration of the holiness of God. And the war that's going on is the world rejecting the church. And then what is the church sustained by? The arm of the Lord. Let me just give you some scriptures here you can look up. Because where am I going to find this concept of the arm of the Lord in Scripture? Well, number one, you're going to find it in creation. Jeremiah 27:5 and Jeremiah 32:17. You're going to find the arm of the Lord in redemption. Exodus 6:6 and Psalms 77:15. You're going to find the arm of the Lord in salvation, Isaiah 59:16. You're going to find the arm of the Lord in providence, Isaiah 51:5. And you're going to find the arm of the Lord in preservation, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Creation, redemption, salvation, providence, preservation. What's the character then of the arm of the Lord? Well, arm of the Lord is guided by unerring wisdom. Arm of the Lord is controlled by unfailing love. The arm of the Lord is always effectual. The arm of the Lord declares the righteousness and holiness of God. This is astonishing that God would, through creation from clay, manifest the highest order of holiness and glory through jars of clay. It's no wonder that Satan's like a roaring lion. Exactly what he wanted is what we get. No wonder he's mad. And yet it seems like an astonishing rejection, not only from the perspective of Jesus' coming to earth and his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, but the rejection now that the big Jesus, you and I, rejected by men. Here too is an astonishing representation. Everything that the Son of God endured as He voluntarily hung on that cross.
Kim Wang was 20 years old, and Kim had her whole life in front of her. She walked down a Hong Kong street one day, and her head was no doubt filled with questions and thoughts and future. She had her whole life ahead of her. But a freak accident ended her life that very afternoon, when a heavy bucket filled with paint fell from a construction site, a window of a hotel that was being constructed, and killed Kim instantly. If this young woman had known what was going to happen when she walked down that street, what do you think she would have done? She would have picked another street. Maybe one where they weren't doing any construction. But consider the Lord Jesus. He knew he was going to die. He knew that he was going to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. But he didn't pick another street. He didn't jump out of the way. He didn't choose a different role. He was totally obedient to the will of his Father. Man, I know what these guys mean sometimes. Not sometimes, I know what they mean when they were talking this week about sometimes you get a call and a study is canceled, and for a moment you kind of think, all right, get a couple hours here, you know, because I really had not done a real good job with time management. So, you know, I'll get caught up. I get that. See? But I also get another concept, that Jesus was willing to die for the redemption of people who never cashed in on it. I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing to push that extra. I don't think there's anything wrong sometimes with saying, phew, you know. And sometimes, maybe, God kind of knows what he's doing. Maybe there is sometimes when I haven't done a real good job with time management, and God says, you know, you probably, you know, I've kind of said before, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do sometimes is take a nap. You've seen the parent who, you know, tells their kids that they need to take a nap, and you know it's the parent who needs the nap. I think maybe sometimes God says, Mike, take a nap. But I gotta be willing. I gotta be willing to make that commitment. It's an astonishing revelation here, too. The sacrificial death, not just the suffering, the total obedience, but the sacrificial death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sure and successful fulfillment of the covenant. But your immersion, your death, burial, resurrection, all the way up as a new creature in Christ is an amazing revelation that Isaiah 2 is prophesying. That's brought out in verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 53. It was the sacrificial death of Jesus. But we get to now, and you see, first in the natural, then in the spiritual, we get to complete that circle as the body of Christ, as the participant in, as part of the wiring, the conduit in the big Jesus, in the temple, as we are working to get that last stone into the matrix, so we can go home. But then God's purpose is accomplished because through man, His holiness has been demonstrated without a doubt. We get to participate in that. That is a majestic theme. John Bell got a new pacemaker. Now, I bring this up because John was 115 years old. And he was in good health. And the doctor told John, the doctor who replaced the pacemaker, said that he would be delighted to provide Mr. Bell with a new one when he was 125. Isaiah 53:10 says the servant of the Lord will enjoy prolonged life. Well, certainly it applies to Jesus. But you think it doesn't apply to you? See, certainly Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection makes it possible for our death, burial, and resurrection. And this is an astonishing revelation. Somebody coming back from the dead. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. You see, Mr. Bell has got nothing on me. He got nothing on you. Because Jesus, the ultimate heart surgeon, got me one of them circumcised hearts. See, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, the living proof that it never fails. This heart will never fail. Because of Jesus, but prophesied by Isaiah, had in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And there is an astonishing result. God said, I will divide him a portion with the great. He'll divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his soul into death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, made intercession with the transgressors. Jesus on the throne assures me that all my sin is gone. All my sin is gone. It assures me that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the boss, applesauce. He's the one. He's the only. He calls the shots. He's the potter. I'm the clay. But I get to participate in something that is much larger than my comfort or recreation. This assurance tells me that I will never perish. I don't have to wait for life to leave this body for my eternal life to begin. If you don't like being a Christian, you ain't going to like heaven. You might as well quit now. And you think this is too hard? It is the power of God that we, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It is by the power of God that that transformation takes place. And we can be confident of this very thing, that God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it, see, until the day of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Spirit, but we got to believe more, not try harder. It's not by might, not by my power. We got to have a systematic way to go about it. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to use that systematic way and go about these things, the who, how, what, when, and where. We need to do all that. But before any of that is going to gel, we got to get the why. We got to get the why are we going to do this? See? And not only do I love the person who is lost, who needs Christ, the question is, do I love God? Love the Lord your God. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your might. And if that's not there, then your love for other people is going to be based on kinship with them or some other commonality that you might have. And sometimes, well, the benefits of the glory of God and the joys of sharing in that divine nature. The joys of the participation in the divine plan. They can seem remote. And you're standing along the road, and your car's broke down. You got no money. Roof is leaking. Your child's in jail. Your feelings are hurt. It's easy to say, suck it up. No, I don't really believe that could be God's approach. Not that there's not a problem with people being babies, absolutely. But, I mean, your child is legitimately hurt and comes to you. You don't tell them to suck it up. Oh, he needs stitches. Yeah, suck it up. No, I mean, even sometimes the game gets to be, oh, yeah, we got a new box of Band-Aids and I got a boo-boo. You think God don't fix boo-boos, too? You see, sometimes even the benefit of sharing in the divine nature, the participation in the divine plan, can be remote in sickness. Brennan and Marshall are expecting their first child. We're all kind of sitting with Christy Gold, who had just had a child. And so, you know, I'm sure that there's some questions. And, you know, the two grandmas are there. And, you know, everything's going on. And you know, I told Brennan that I heard that labor was sometimes almost as intensive as a man having a fever. Now, I hope it didn't scare her. Yeah.
Suck it up.
But you know, Jesus said, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble. And just as we see the suffering Savior, you know what? Steve Doty's well brought out that suffering with a purpose ceases to be suffering. It's when we lose purpose that suffering doesn't make any sense anymore. But suffering with a purpose ceases to be suffering. Suffering with a divine purpose ceases to be suffering and can be counted as all joy. Let me close with Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. Majestic themes from the Messianic prophet. So then, Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, through whose Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. Not to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. And if you live by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your body, you're going to live. For as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And you receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We were prophesied together. We will be glorified together. Jesus sent messengers before his face. They went into the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they didn't receive him because his face was set for a journey to Jerusalem. Set your face towards Zion. All of this is light and momentary, and it's all going to burn. But who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?